I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
And took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Welcome to another program of Glorious Day. I'm Pastor David, and with me is
Pastor Barry.
Pastor Barry. Praise God, brother.
Amen,
brother. It's so good to be with you again.
I haven't seen you in a long time, David.
I know.
It's good to see you again. You haven't aged at all.
Well, I try not to. And also, the light in here isn't very good, so.
Yeah, I think I see a dark hair or two.
Yeah, that I plant them there.
Okay.
You know, just so people will think, but...
I want gray hair so my hair will look darker.
Yeah, right. Well, this is not a show on cosmetology, folks,
no.
But this is a program to really try to edify and encourage the people of God, the body of Christ. And at the same time, if there are any lost folk, any of those that are looking for Jesus listening in, and you're encouraged to continue, I know you'll hear something that might enable you open your heart to Jesus tonight. So this is the last program in our theme of the storms of life.
Right.
And last week we talked about sharing Christ and trusting in God.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that in the storms of life are those times, especially when the Lord sends his people in the midst of the storms to share Christ with those who are struggling.
Right.
And so these times now are so incredibly challenging.
Yes, they are.
And everyone knows that. But we the theme for this program is perseverance. And we thought that ultimately, in all the things we've talked about, they sort of layer one on top of the other.
Mm-hmm.
And the teachings there. And so that... we thought it would be good at the end of this series on the storms of life to talk about perseverance, that we persevere through all the times, especially the tough times. And Paul in Romans had an exceptional way of addressing this, and the truth in there is very powerful. If you have your Bibles, it's Romans 5, verses 1 through 5.
Mine's ready.
Yours is good for you.
Okay, I got it right here.
We are cheating. You've got it on your phone. No, you're not really doing that because it's a great platform
for
the Word, and you've got it in your back pocket.
All the time.
You know, and some of these programs, you can have 8, 10, 20, 50 translations if you want.
It's amazing.
It is amazing. But at any rate, back to that perseverance, Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. Paul writes, he says this, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." That's powerful stuff, brother.
And what I love about Scripture is it seems like it was written just yesterday.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
It's fresh, it's relevant, and it's talking to our hearts today.
Today, exactly.
Reading this, like you said, David, we are going through such challenging times, and you know it doesn't take much to see people who are tired of running the race. Put on the news, go to work, go to the grocery store, wherever you're going to go, you're going to see it in people's faces, particularly in their eyes. There's a tiredness and a sadness in the world. And then up pops a Christian who's maybe even whistling and smiling. And Paul was right. We are a peculiar people.
Oh, yes.
We don't fit in with the crowd.
No.
Because in reading this today, what you're saying, David, when you read this, was that suffering is not a bad thing.
No.
And that character just doesn't magically appear.
No.
It's something that we develop as we go through trials. The old expression, you get better, you get bitter.
Right, yeah.
You know, we all think back of the trials of our life where we wanted to give up, but we did not.
Yeah.
We had that spiritual motor going. It just kept us going and going and going. Energizer Bunny with the holy batteries, you know?
Yes, Holy Spirit charge.
I work in a nursing home, as you know, David, and for the last year and a half, it's been a weary, weary battle. But if people were to go behind those doors and peek in a little bit, they would actually hear some laughter going on here and there. They would see people hugging and just supporting each other. Words of encouragement are all over the place. I'm not sure every building's like that, but I know ours is. And there are people who hadn't prayed before, or perhaps they hadn't prayed in decades. But they were working side by side, elbow to elbow with Christians, and they wanted what they had because they didn't have it. They were arriving at work giving up.
Yeah.
From the moment they walked in the door. And then they said, you know what? I want that inner peace, that inner strength.
Yes.
And I saw this as an opportunity, and I'm sure God does too. We have an opportunity here, folks. As you live your life as a Christian, you're preaching a sermon by the way in which you carry yourself, by the way in which you deal with the blows of life, and people are watching.
They're
always watching.
They very much are. And but I want to back up from that point, as relevant as it is to talk about us. I'm speaking now to everyone who's listening.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say, because I have, when I talk about people that are afraid of suffering, I mean, and let's face it, if you're a human being and you hear the word suffering, you're not going to quickly grab your day timer and write that down.
Yes.
Get up at 7 a.m. and suffer. You know, we don't want to do that. In fact, if you look at so many of the products that are available to us in our culture today.
To ease the suffering.
Ease the suffering, to keep us from pain, to enable us, you know. Now, I'm not saying those things are wrong, okay? I have, at my age, I have several things at home that ease some pains.
Right.
But I'm now speaking spiritually, really, and to say that we were made, if you think for a minute about when God made us, that one of the aspects of our humanity is not just the ability to suffer, but the need to suffer and move through those experiences.
That's the key. Keep moving.
Because that's where our growth is.
Mm-hmm.
There's no growth in avoiding the things that we really should be facing, because as Scripture tells us, we don't face those alone. If you're a God believer, if you're a Jesus man or a Jesus woman, you know what Jesus has already promised you as a disciple. We read it in Matthew 28:20. Jesus said, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age."
Amen.
So that we're doing his work. He's never left us. He didn't send us out and he's sitting back, you know, drinking a iced tea on the lanai, you know, watching some guy mow his lawn. No, he is right there with us because he knows that we need his presence, we need his grace. But folks, we have to get out of our minds this thing that we can serve God and avoid suffering. Those are not compatible themes.
Well, not when Jesus said, "Take up your cross and follow me."
Amen.
It's not like he was saying, "Follow me and bring your cross. We're going to the beach today, and
right. Yeah,
we'll go to Red Lobster later on and get a nice meal together." People will look at Christianity and say, you know what, I think that I want that because they're always in a good mood and it doesn't seem like they have any problems and bad things don't happen to them. Well, that's so untrue.
Yeah.
And then they'll see you've been hit between the eyes with a bad diagnosis, an accident, a job loss, whatever. And you can either go through it of your own strength and wisdom. I don't know how much you got, David, but I'm more of a Barney Fife with my strength. Or you can trust God and his strength and wisdom.
Yeah.
That's the key right there. And that's what people are noticing. That's what they want.
Right.
Then they can sense it. They can taste it. but they just got to make that decision. And David, you and I, our primary responsibility are to bring people to the cross to Christ and then back away and give them that opportunity to have their intimate moment with Christ.
Right.
And that's the life changer.
And then once they've met Jesus, then we return and bring others with us because they need to be drawn into a community of faith.
Amen.
Where they can be discipled. But even in the course of discipleship, there's suffering. And I'll tell you, I can remember thinking back to the early days of my Christian walk, is that I suffered a lot more with my sin issues, coming to recognize them, and then being challenged with the truth, you know, but wanting to say, I'm not that bad. You know, I mean, I've made a few mistakes and all, but I'm not that. But there's kind of a suffering that goes on in the course of growing and being transformed. Because part of the transformation process, which, by the way, is what the Holy Spirit's really good at, is coming into us and transforming us, is to recognize our brokenness and our imperfection, that God wants to then take us into himself. You know, the great, I love that Jesus said, and John records this so wonderfully, he said, abide in me as I in you. Abide in me,
right,
as I in you. And when we come to Christ, we are immediately, we can move into his entire life, you know?
That's the key, too, is you're all in.
And, yeah, you're all
and
in.
When you know the voice of God, when Jesus speaks to your heart, you are going to recognize sin. There's a huge magnifying glass attached to your eyeglasses now, and you see it.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're convicted in your heart. And people think the word convicted is a bad thing, and it's a blessing.
It's an absolute blessing.
You know, I am blessed to be convicted to know that this is right and that is wrong, and there's no gray areas, and there's no holy whiteout, as I put it, for the Bible.
Right.
Well, I don't like that sin that I may have committed. I can see it right there, so I'm going to white it out.
Yeah.
No.
And that's part of our suffering, but then the other side is the joy of God healing.
Mm-hmm.
And that transformation process is very healing. And no, it doesn't heal me from being able to sin again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am still a sinner. But I recognize my focus has, in the transformation process, one of the things that I see, or that I can put it as a metaphor, but before I met Jesus, I could only look at the pain of being a sinner and what my sin did to others and myself.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I didn't want to admit it, you know, it's one of those things, I can't talk about it, but in my heart, I knew it was real. And all I could see was that pain, and I was suffering from that.
Right.
But when Jesus came into my life, he turned me around. I couldn't do it. He turned me around. I did a 180, and now I'm looking at his face, and he says, yeah, you're a sinner. I love you. And, you know, there is forgiveness for that.
Mm-hmm.
And the pain, that particular pain, was alleviated greatly, you know. And that now I know, yes, I sin, but I have a God, I follow a God who is forgiving and restoring, and I repent of that. And I'll tell you, Barry, and as you well know, that sometimes that repentance takes me into the life of someone that I've hurt, and to say to them, I'm sorry, I acknowledge that I've hurt you, I've done this thing, it is wrong, I'm asking your forgiveness because I know it was not right.
That's so important, and I'm glad you brought that up, because, you know, we have work to do.
Yeah.
Now, Jesus did the work.
Yep.
But we have work to do, and we can't sit on our hands and just sit in a pew and says, okay, I'm good.
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute, do you have the ability, do you have the opportunity to right some of the wrongs?
Yeah.
If you do, get up and do it.
Yes.
And that's hard to do sometimes.
It's tough.
You got to get over your own ego.
Yeah.
You know, it's awkward.
Yes.
That's a word I hear often when people are asked to evangelize or to share their story. They feel a little awkward.
Yeah.
Because they're not used to talking about themselves or lowering the shields, for all you Star Trek fans.
Yeah.
You know, right. It's not easy, but none of this is easy.
No.
It wasn't meant to be easy.
But it's not impossible. It's not impossible.
You know, going back to perseverance, in my medical background, back when I was a respiratory therapist, I would see, I got to take my hat off to moms. Do you know that women are stronger than men?
Yeah, I knew that. My wife told me the other day. I believe her.
I would see the strength of a mother with a sick child. Yeah. And in many cases, I was working in a critical care area, and the mother would not, absolutely would not leave that crib side. And you wondered how they would live for 4 days, 6 days, 10 days on coffee and nerves.
Yeah.
But they would persevere through it. Now, we all know they probably went home when the crisis was over and crashed.
Sure.
But for those 9, 10 days, they pull on an inner strength, a mother's love, an inner strength, and they push their way through it. And I think we can learn from that.
Of course. Oh, yes, we can.
You know, I would encourage you to take a break and eat here and there. But what I'm saying is that that's a total and absolute commitment.
Amen.
No room here for lukewarm Christians.
No.
Total commitment. And that's also growth right there, David. You went through your tests. You have your testimony. Now go tell someone about it.
Absolutely. Yes.
And give God the glory.
And give God the glory. And your testimony will grow. I mean, you'll have other stories to tell about how God moved in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them particularly crafted for that next person you're going to meet who needs to hear exactly that. You know, Paul, we read back to Romans, he writes, we rejoice in our sufferings, you know. And again, that sounds kind of counterintuitive, except for what he says after that. Because, again, suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And that is why, as a Christian,
mm-hmm.
one who is in Christ, how critical it is that we face those issues wherein we probably already know we're going to have some suffering. A lot of it's going to be we're already suffering because we're anxious.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe I'm afraid of witnessing because I don't want people to get mad at me or throw things at me or shun me.
I'll ruin the barbecue because I talked about Jesus today.
Yeah, really?
His healing powers. And they were all drinking beer and cooking ribs and didn't want to hear it.
Yeah, exactly. That's the fear we have. But you know what, friends? There's only one source of that fear. It's not Jesus.
I know who that is.
It's the devil.
Yes.
He is a great master of lies. He loves to instill fear in people. And, you know, the other thing to remember is that when we get afraid, then our fear, as it ramps up, births something. And we call that birthing anger.
Anger, yeah.
And talk about a diversion that the enemy has caused us to do out of our own humanity, part of our brokenness again. Instead of serving the Lord and stepping out there and sharing the witness that we have or doing something with your hands mm-hmm. to help somebody who's in need, instead of doing that, our fear leads to anger. And where does that go? Well, it might go to the person we were supposed to help. It often goes to ourselves because later we say, I should have done that and I didn't. I hate myself, you know. And I was
the only one that could do this job for God and I blew it.
And then the devil stands behind and says, yeah. And boy, he's really upset at you. Yep. Now, look out for lightning bolts. You know, the earth may open up under you and you'll fall into a sinkhole, you know. Because the enemy just loves to do that, but that is not God. Yes, you know, I've done that. I would say, failed God.
I have too.
He hasn't stopped loving me. He takes me. He brushes me off. He loves on me. He turns me around back in that direction and assures me that he's given me the Holy Spirit. So I can do that. Does it take away the fear? I don't think so. But the courage of the Spirit enables us to move beyond the fear. And I'll tell you, if you're afraid right now, folks, face those. If you know the Lord wants you to do something, mm-hmm. that's critical. You got to know it's the Lord and not you or some other person or the enemy. But when you know it's the Lord, you know that he is going to give you what you need to do it.
He will equip you.
He will equip you. And when you do that and you move out of that circumstance where you serve the Lord and blessings flew all over the place,
mm-hmm.
You're going to get stronger. One more notch has been cut into that that I'm trying to think what that metaphor would lead me to, but you know, it's another thing you've done.
A notch in your belt?
A notch in your belt. Well,
that's a little different.
I'd love to cut a few more in my belt, brother. but anyway, because that's it's just a powerful thing.
Right.
And you will endure, you will have hope, and you will persevere. And that at some point you say, it's not me, it's God. Lord, here I am, send me.
You know, David, not too many years ago, I was in the hospital. I'm okay now, but I found out I was diabetic the hard way. I came home from work and passed out. And as I was in the hospital...
I found out I was an alcoholic the same way.
I was admitted to the hospital, and they put me in the ICU on trying to get my sugars down because I was in and out of a coma.
Yeah.
And two things happened. One was I asked my wife to get my Bible because it was going to be a long run all night sitting up. I thought I was awake, and I wanted to read through my Bible for inspiration as I went through this ride, rough mm-hmm. ride. And so I obtained my Bible, and I went through the Psalms. David, the other David, King David, was with me all through my ICU experience. And then I was put in a regular room. And if you've ever been in a hospital for a few days, you get weaker instead of stronger.
Yeah, that's true.
You're not sleeping, you're sick. And I was in this room at 2 in the morning. A nurse woke me up, I assumed for my medication. And she was crying. And she wanted to speak to me about forgiveness. And I started to grumble in my mind, Lord, I can't do this. I'm too weak. I'm only running on one cylinder. And yeah. He says, I will give you the strength. Listen to her.
Yeah.
And from 2 to 4 in the morning, I helped a person that was in a very dark place and who saw no way out.
Yes.
And through the tears and the prayers, she came out of it with a sense of hope and some peace in her heart and some direction, some spiritual guidance. And I think from that moment forward, my weakness was gone. Maybe God saw that I needed to get off the pity pot and get to work, and that is where the healing began, for me anyway, the physical healing.
Yeah.
But you know, with perseverance, I pushed my way through it. But I got to tell you, it wasn't my strength. It was a God moment. You know, everybody was tiptoeing around me. I said, I feel great now. I want to go home.
Yeah.
And God got me through it. And that nurse, I don't know where she is to this day, but I was blessed to have that appointment with her. If I had to get sick and go in the hospital, she needed to hear the word of God.
I find in your story, which is, oh, Lord, it's powerful. I think you've told it to me before, but I'd kind of forgotten.
Well, I probably have. I'm getting old. I repeat myself.
Well, yeah,
myself.
Right. You repeat yourself. But it was a good repetition, and it points to a pretty common thing that believers can experience and know to be true when we're doing ministry, and that is we will meet people who are suffering often while we are suffering.
Amen.
And God takes that suffering, because Paul says that His power is made perfect in our weakness. And he will do that. He will create a ground of discovery and healing that is so powerful.
I've seen that in life when, if you've ever been to a cancer ward where you see some cancer patients have just gone to sleep and given up.
Yeah.
And others will get out of their bed and go to another resident or patient and comfort them. Rubber meets the road there, because they're all in the same boat.
Yes.
And they all had the same prognosis, which is not good.
Yeah.
But you have to wonder, dig deep down inside, do you have the foundational faith to do that?
Yeah.
And pray that you do, because that's a moment. I've always felt, David, when I was in situations with very ill people, dying people, God was all over that. He's right there. Jesus is in that room.
Amen.
And you just sense it when you walk in, that he's got this, he's got them. Sometimes, as disciples, we get in the way.
Yeah, I've done that.
Yeah, I have too. But persevere, 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 because that's what it's all about, is the endurance, not relying on any of your own strength or wisdom or knowledge.
Yes.
But all Him, and He will get you through it.
Always. Mm-hmm. Yes, you grow into it. It's rare, although I've heard of people that came to Christ one day, and the next day they were in frontline ministry.
Ah.
And they were trusting Him. But it's something we can all count on, and a place we all need to be.
Right.
I also have to mention, kind of earlier I referenced being an alcoholic, and I want you people to know that 18 years ago God delivered me from that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Lord. And so, which is another group now that I can minister to, is drunks. And I God has used me to get people's attention, because I know how they think, because I used to be one of them. And I also mentioned, talking about addictions, we have a couple of minutes, but I want to also give God the glory for something else.
What's that, David?
Well, today is actually August the 5th. Folks, so you can kind of do count on your fingers, well, how many days before this plays?
Mm-hmm.
But tomorrow, which is August the 6th, is the 30th anniversary of God delivering me from tobacco.
Wow.
Yes, in all of its forms, except for the chewing kind. I could never do that.
Ugh.
Yeah, I know.
You didn't want to do that.
But so God is the glory, and He was doing this. He's doing this all the time. Oh, man, that's a whole nother program, I guess.
But imagine if He hadn't done that, what condition you would have been in.
You would have had to wheel me in a wheelchair. I'd have probably been on one of those portable vents.
Oh, yeah?
Right. And my voice would be electronically produced, like what's the guy's, Stephen Hawking.
Stephen Hawking.
With his chair, you know, and it wouldn't be the same.
I would listen to you, David. I'm a big fan of Stephen Hawking.
Thank you, yeah. Well, listen, folks, our time is just about up. I'd like to offer a brief but profound prayer for those who are suffering right now. Father God, I lift up everyone who is suffering. I lift up believers. I lift up those who don't believe, because suffering is a common human thing.
Mm.
Lord, I pray for believers that in their suffering they would see that it is not to avoid suffering, but it is to walk through it with You, Jesus, and to be there with You personally, intimately, as You empower us in our weakness to serve You, a strong and loving God. And for those that do not have Jesus in their hearts, let me tell you, ask Him to come in, because you're going to suffer anyway. It is wonderful to have Jesus with you so that He can transform the suffering into joy and eternal life. And that's the end of our program. God bless you all. Barry, good until next week.
And
be blessed,
too,
brother.
And God bless all of you with health and safety and strength and endurance.
Amen.
God bless you. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word,
that we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and His perfect plan is unfolding in our time.